I'm your private dancer, a dancer for money. Do be fun and shenanigans for you. Be fun and shenanigans, folks. We are back. Holy moly, moly, moly.
Holy moly.
Rest in peace, Tina Turner. An interesting life, to say the least.
Yeah.
Wow. Queen of rock and roll, of course. Had a, you know, that well chronicled horrible space of time with Ike Turner, who is, of course, having his testicles roasted in hell right now. He probably gets to look down from, you know, the heavenly place, if that, you know, if you believe in that sort of thing. Indeed. Stephen Van Patten here, as always, with Denise Tapscott.
Hello, everyone.
Kirk Johnson, who you know we're recording, right? Okay, good. And Mark Abbott is also with us.
Yay, Professor.
The professor. What does that shirt say?
Godzilla.
Oh, okay. Nice, there you go. Nice.
It's actually someone years ago who went to Japan got me this shirt, but on the back it's that, I don't want to key out, but it's, you know, that famous Japanese painting with the wave.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's what's on the back with Godzilla riding in on the wave.
Oh wow! So,
oh, it's wow. Surfing.
I'm peanut butter.
No, he's not. He's not surfing. If I could
go for it.
Can you see it?
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh, and
you have disappeared.
And you're back.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Well, we see Godzilla on the top. You got to raise up your shirt a little bit.
Okay.
Wow. That's awesome. Man. You can see like his face, like just like that.
I don't have a lot of Godzilla gear, so I have this, and I actually have one from that god awful
Matthew Broderick.
Yeah, that one.
Ooh, yes.
I knew someone who worked on that, so they got me one of the production shirts that says, it says on the front, it's pronounced Gojira, you moron. So
I actually thought that was better than Godzilla 1985, like that.
1985.
Yeah, I think it was better than that shit. That was crap.
With Raymond Burr. I always like the fact that they stuck Raymond Burr in the American version to give it more more credibility.
Western appeal.
Right.
Like Western appeal.
Today it would probably be Matthew Burr. Today it would probably be like Matthew Modine or somebody, or
it'd be Krasnick. What's that dude from The Office?
Ironside.
Jim Krasnick?
Yes, it'll be Jim Krasnick. It'd have to be depending on who they want to get. Depending on who their audience they want to get for the audience, it'd be either Jim
Krasinski,
but if they want Krasinski. A younger crowd, they'd get
Justin Charlemagne. Bieber,
Charlemagne, the kid
they
from
do?
Dune. That kid from Dune. If they want to go for the younger crowd, because he's androgynous enough to get the girls.
Oh my God. Godzilla does not care about your pronouns.
No. That's the one thing that has
steps on everybody equally.
Through the generations. Right. Younger girls love a dude that looks androgynous.
No,
you're not a girl. You're a woman. You're a woman, not a girl. There's two different motherfuckers.
Thank you. You get a gold star.
there was that section of the 80s where when you would see somebody like that, you're like,
dude, from the 80s, from the 70s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s.
I said
Prince, T-Rex, and that kid with the curly blonde hair from the 70s. You remember? Yeah, remember what I'm talking about?
Mm. I got one more for you. Got one more for you. You probably forgot about this one. Terrence Trent D'Arby.
Yes. Every generation has like that one androgynous dude that gets all the girls, and he's a celebrity.
It's like, what's his name from?
Not me, man.
What was that? You spin me right round, baby. Right.
Yeah.
You just. Annie Lennox did that.
Annie Lennox, yeah.
When she did Sweet Dreams, and I was like,
I got a question for you.
Yes, my darling.
So you're going to tell me you ain't feel a little bit of pitter-patter when you were young, and you're 17, 18, and Leonardo DiCaprio came up on the scene?
No. No.
A young Leonardo DiCaprio.
Stutter? No. All
right. All right. No. But it was Prince all the way, though.
I mean, Prince is all right. I mean, great music.
I'm not saying anything wrong with it.
Sweet Dreams about Prince either.
When the dude come out in a midriff and high heel boots, high boots.
Nope.
That was
good luck with your endeavors. That was. I know. And then he wasn't sexy. He's like, oh, I like your song. Yeah, but not like come hither. No, hell no. But that's just me speaking for myself.
You're like, I like your boots.
Yeah, what size are those? Yeah,
can I borrow those next weekend?
Right. But not like him, not come have dinner with me. No, nope. Good luck with your endeavors. No, that's just me.
It always fascinated me because it was like one of the. Well, that was the thing. I remember one of the jokes that I told in one of my storytelling shows is where I talked about. How I made this mixtape for somebody, and I said, and you know, and I put that song in there by Culture Club because the woman who leads the group knew exactly how I felt. Because as a kid, I didn't realize that was a guy till my mother was like, "You know, that's a man." When Boy George came out,
your mother had to tell you. Sure.
Well, because
he had a nice nose.
Yeah. It was like
the eyelashes
as a kid. Watching a lot of things should have told me. What was that the early 80s?
Yeah, that was 80, he wasn't a kid no more. What do you mean?
I was like in my pre-teens. So technically,
he was a whole teenager.
I wasn't a teenager yet. I was still in middle, like sixth grade, going into.
You were not a teenager yet.
So, I find your lack of faith disturbing. But it was one of those things where the thing that should have said it was Boy George.
Yeah, but that was my indicator.
I never put, that's one of those things where it was sort of like, huh, okay. You know, and then when somebody explained, I was like, oh, okay.
I thought it was a girl also. I thought she was being ironic when she had the Boy George shoes on. And my sister goes, "No, Kirk, that's a man." It's like, no,
she's being ironic.
She's being ironic.
Ironic.
That's Robin Hood,
where
that
are the rest of the merry men?
Which
Boy George and Little John.
But see, that's why the kids are those of us who grew up in the 80s, we're gonna be all right. Like, because I was talking to somebody about this a while ago about how things from the 80s now. People, I think my brother and I were talking about this, like the jokes that Eddie Murphy did in Delirious, he'd be canceled before even got the first joke out of his mouth.
Yeah.
I am not using that word, canceled anymore. Boycotted. Boycotted.
They wouldn't have been a boycott.
You're canceling canceled?
I'm canceling. Anything that white Republicans and the GOP use to disparage our shit, I am not using.
I don't think they started that though.
What?
That cancel started long before.
No. That started with us.
It started with us, and then they co-opted it.
I'm not using that context.
You know, it's always
co-opting.
You know, it's like that song, Brooklyn Bronx keeps on making it, Brooklyn keeps on taking it. You know, I actually told one of my students that the other day, and he looked at me like, what is that supposed to mean? I said, go say that to your parents. And one of the kids came back. He said, my father said, yeah, you're funny. I was like, oh, he got it.
He got it.
Yeah, listen to Slick Rick. Listen to early Slick Rick. Where you got Rob from them Brooklyn Kids up at
before. Oh, the moment I feared.
Yes, yeah.
The moment I feared.
Some Brooklyn kids was looking all up my throat. It was my gold chain. It was my thing on it. Then they rolled on me and told me to run them. It was the moment I feared.
Yo, kids, give me them chains, son. I think that's the funniest part of the song. The funniest part of the song is what's happening to him, particularly, and you know, we shouldn't even laugh about the situation with him in jail.
At the end?
At the end.
Yeah.
Yo,
some kids snuffed me cold and greased me with no window. It was the moment of fear.
Wow. That kept a boy.
I tell you right now, I think that kept a lot of people out of crime right there at that point. A lot of kids is like, what?
Me. No, no. No crime for me.
No.
Between that and Snowfall, motherfuckers ain't fuck with those dudes. Snowfall had a bad one. That was, oh my God.
Oof. Yeah, if you didn't learn anything from those shows.
Or The Wire.
Or The Wire.
Well, shit, man. Oz.
Oz, ooh. Oz. I needed a shower after some episodes of Oz. I was like, okay, no.
You're pressing a button. It was like the TV was broken too. You should try to change the channel and it stayed. And I'm like, no, not the volume. Not the volume.
Not the volume.
I don't want to hear this.
Make it stop. Oh my stars.
Yeah, that I got one word for everybody that remembers Oz at all. Adebisi.
D.
Adebisi.
That was a great name. Before Christ. He was definitely savage. I love wearing my hat like that. I love wearing my hat like that shit at work. Yes.
He said, why how did your hat stay like that? It's the spirits.
Never.
You know what? I see you, Oz, and I will raise you Full Metal Jacket. That movie, when I saw that movie, I was like, yeah, I'm never going into the military. You could not, horses could never drag me. The treatment underneath the drill sergeant, I was like, that alone would have been like, I'm out. I'm not doing this. You're not gonna talk to me like this every day.
No.
I ain't doing this. I'm like when that is the worst part of the movie and there is still a war they had to go to.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. They going to Vietnam. I'm over here upset about the basic training.
Yeah. That was an interesting time in our. That was an instant timeline, man. That was like the 90s, the mid-90s.
Late 80s, early 90s, where
every movie, every new TV show or movie was like on Vietnam. Because I remember The Boys of Company C.
Mm-hmm. China Beach.
I remember China Beach.
China Beach.
What was that one on Channel 2? There was another one on Channel 2, Call of Duty or the Duty.
Something. Oh, yeah. I remember what you're talking
with
about.
With Nunez. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of them.
Yeah.
Sean Penn did one with Michael J. Fox.
With Michael J. Fox, Casualties of War.
Oh,
Casualties
of War.
Then there was another one with Eddie Griffin.
That sounds familiar.
Was that a war movie?
Yeah, it was a black crew during wartime. I can't remember who else was in it. I remember Eddie Griffin was in it though. It was crazy.
Oh. That sounds familiar.
It was an all black cast.
I'm gonna look it up.
It wasn't good, but it was
but it was out there.
Yeah. And Dead Presidents, the last one.
Dead Presidents, that depressed me.
Yeah. That was depressing as fuck.
I remember I just watched it
in like the middle of the night, done around like 2 a.m. And I was just like, I didn't even change the channel. I actually like sat through the credits, like to kind of glassy eyed, like, oh. Yeah.
I feel Jordan Peele watched that movie before like deciding to write the end, change the ending for Get Out.
Right.
He was like, oh my God, I can't do this ending for Get Out. It's a movie. It's not real. It's a movie. I can make a happy ending if I want.
But you know, that was like, I can never watch Menace to Society ever again. That was one of that you know, we had that group of, you know, LA gang type, you know, like you would like, so you know, we got Boys in the Hood, and then the Hughes Brothers was like, you know what, we just gonna take this camera and follow these cats around in the street and make this more realistic than Boys in the Hood. Eesh. And I saw that movie not because it was on the top of my list to see, but there were friends who wanted to see it, and I was like, you can't go and watch that movie by yourself. You're going to need to go with somebody to process it and talk about it. You know, much like what we had to do for Kirk after Suicide Squad. Talk him off of a ledge.
Dang. Like,
he had a notebook of notes.
I'm trying to see how long it took for you to bring up some old shit.
Well, let me put this in real quick. The Eddie Griffin movie was The Walking Dead, 1995.
Yep. That's the
Joe
one.
Morton, Roger Floyd, Bernie Mac.
Yeah,
Morton was a bunch of people. Right. Bernie Mac. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Was that a Spike Lee movie?
Nah, Spike Lee movie was the Bloods, the Five Bloods.
No, but he did that one. He did Miracle at St. Anne's
and Santa Ana, which was World War II.
That's World
War
II. Santa Ana.
But
Preston Whitmore. Yeah. Preston Whitmore. The second, actually.
Right. Of the Brentwood Whitmores.
Nice. Those Whitmores.
Those guys.
I didn't know who we were talking about a minute ago.
Right. Not the Compton Whitmores, but the Brentwoods.
Brentwood Whitmores.
The West Side, yeah.
That on the east or the west side of Whitmore. Okay, though, I know exactly who you're talking about.
And the Inglewood Whitmores are just called the Wits because they couldn't afford the Moors.
That was then.
Hashtag no generational wealth. Hey, speaking of black men in war movies, we also neglected to rest in peace Jim Brown, who once said, "I don't catch heart attacks, I give them." Yeah, bad dude.
Wow.
Bad dude all the way around.
Versatile as hell.
You did Tina Turner.
Yeah.
Jim Brown. Fuck.
Every time I turn around, I was like,
and another one again for the government's self-respect. Man, nice. Look, it's a debt ceiling. You don't negotiate that shit.
Right.
You don't negotiate that shit.
If you're trying to make Joe Biden look bad, if you're trying to make things worse so that people will vote against him.
Nuclear option, the 14th Amendment. They were talking before about, well, we don't need them. You can just use the 14th Amendment. Goes, then do it, motherfucker. Don't fucking motherfuckers.
You know, but then the problem is then that plays into, this is fascism. Meanwhile, we all know what real fascism looks like.
That's the thing. That's the other thing. We know what fascism is. The GOP can say anything they want, but we know the truth. Because they're going to say anything they want anyway.
Right.
It's not going to stop them from saying anything they want.
No, true.
Right? They call fascism every day at the same time practicing it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So them yelling at Joe Biden as being a fascist, but he's still the president, it'd be like, I don't give a fuck. I'm not negotiating.
It's a nice cycle of reverse victimhood that's been going on for quite a while now, and you know, and it ties back to what you were talking about with the whole cancel culture thing. It's like how we managed to let that slip through our fingers. It's just telling is that because while the left is arguing over nuance all of the time, the right walks in lockstep, much like Nazis in a parade.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem. It's like, yeah, we're, you know, because I always go back to, among other things, the whole thing of when Al Franken got kicked out of the Senate. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know,
again, moral high ground,
yeah,
being more important than actually being a cohesive unit.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, and that's why the Democrats are constantly playing the Washington Generals to the Republicans' Harlem Globetrotters.
Mm-hmm.
They probably rather play the fucking, they rather play that role anyway, so that they can call out and say, hey, we need more money for blah blah blah, because so and so ain't playing right. Well, motherfucker, you ain't playing right either.
Yeah. Right.
You know it's messed up. I wish we had, there was an episode, if you had never watched The West Wing, there was an episode that I thought was probably hands down, if somebody wanted to take a playbook out of there, it had to do with a situation where President Bartlet was dealing with the Republicans,
mm-hmm,
and he decided he was going to walk to the Hill to talk to them. And he walks, he leaves the White House. He walks along Pennsylvania Avenue. He's greeting people, everything. He gets there.
Wow.
He gets to the Capitol. I forgot the guy's name that's with him. Knocks on the door. Republicans open the door, and he says, President Bartlet is here to see you. And the guy said, give us a minute. So Bartlet sits down, and they're sitting there, and he goes, sir, let's go. And he goes, what? And he goes, let's leave. And he goes, but I came down. He goes, you're the president of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
You don't wait for anyone.
Ooh.
And meanwhile, they go back in the room with these cackling hens. They're like all proud of themselves because they made the president wait. And there was a press corps, and the whole thing followed him. My man opens the door, and the hall is empty.
Wow.
And the look on his face, he's like, oh, boy. We just fucked up. And I'm like, I would love. The highlight of my week last week was the entire House of Representatives chambers laughing their ass off at Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Oh, yeah, that was
when
great.
She called for decorum.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was the highlight of the week.
Yeah.
Because it was finally, these cats were just like, you were, what? Like, yeah. And because you don't see that.
Yeah.
Normally, you know, she'd have said it and then, blah, blah. Yeah. But the fact that she got, and then was hitting the gavel, they got louder.
They did. Like, they did.
Like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and they went on for a while.
We need to continue doing that. We need to stop as the Democratic Party. We either you're going to have to get an army of pit bulls that you're safe. They get, put them out there and let them do what you're afraid to do,
mm-hmm,
but without any consequence to them. Let them, you got a whole slew of, like Homegirl the other week from Texas. Which is basically like in the committee meeting, she was like, oh, I'm so happy we're against individual sexual assault, seeing that the one running for president is, you know, maybe now we won't vote for it. I'm like, we need more of that.
Right.
And you don't need to silence them, because at this point, to your point, Stephen, this constant, we want to take the moral high ground. I understand. I understand you don't want to look like them. But every time you do that, you don't have anything to back it up. You don't do anything. Like, I understand your point, Kirk, about the debt ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I honestly think Joe Biden was sitting there like, I'm going to use the 14th Amendment when I have to. When it becomes crucial, because if I pull this card now, then, you know, it goes just beyond, it's a little bit beyond just the whole screaming about fascism. What it does, it opens up a door for some moron on the right to start trying to figure out how to circumnavigate that. And then we have a new problem on our hands with them trying to change laws and stuff like, because we're dealing with this on the state level like crazy, you know. And, you know, it's, I just really wish we really need to stop. If you want to take the moral high ground, great. But you gotta, you literally gotta get in the ring. You gotta fight. Yeah. You cannot keep being worried about, because believe it or not, the American people want you to fight.
Yeah.
That's the crazy thing. It's kind of the opposite of what Denise sent the other day about the football teams.
Oh.
And the dude was like, huh? The Cowboys are America's team. How are you going to be America's team and everybody hates you? It's like nobody likes you. Right. You know, it's like.
How about them boys?
I think there are a few of them out there that are trying to do that. But this is like, forgive me. This is like having the old guard at church who don't want to see change.
Mm.
And every time, huh?
Who no, told no, this no. To?
my man, whomever you believe I should, yeah, there it is. I was wondering why
everybody in Beef Wine Shenanigans is allowed to exercise their religious freedom. So
that's right.
Apologize to who you need to apologize to, Mark. It's all good.
Yeah.
I was more or less apologizing to the elders more than I was.
Oh, okay.
Because he knows. Him, them, they, all of the universe.
Are you pronouns right? Use a proper pronoun for that.
It's a personal choice.
Do the elders watch Beef Wine and Shenanigans, Mark?
I'm saying whoever Mark's talking to, I think that nigga's like more than just one.
He's like,
right.
You know, that nigga supposed to be like three of them.
Oh gosh.
Live from Valhalla. Beef Wine and Shenanigans.
Exactly.
Everywhere.
Everybody watching Beef Wine and Shenanigans.
Damn. It's everywhere.
Everywhere.
Even them downstairs watch Beef Wine and
Shenanigans. Oh, definitely.
Definitely. Shut up, you. Nobody's listening to you.
But
if only to check out Denise. Yeah.
But yeah, Mark, to your point, because like even on Wanda Sykes, her comedy show, her most recent one, she even said, I'm tired of always going high. When do we get to go low?
Mm-hmm.
I think everybody feels that same way. Like, we're tired of taking the higher ground. But like, come on. But we also don't want another insurrection. So like, how do you make it work?
Yeah, we do.
No, we don't. I'm not. No,
yeah, we do.
No, I'm not doing that.
How bad they look.
No.
Why do you want an insurrection, Kirk?
Just to show how savage and unhinged that side is. Just so it has to be national shit. It can't be like it can't be like niggas be acting like Spectre when they're the James Boys. They're Jesse James. Right? They looking to kill, hang, and oppress whoever the fuck they need necessary for the cash. And they do that shit on the sneak like Spectre does, right? Nobody knows who the fuck they are. Like, don't talk here. And all we point at is Fox, right? And a couple of the senators. Let's show them who their constituents are. Let's really show them who they, when they decided to do the Southern strategy, they knew who they were going for. They knew who they were going for. Mm. As Black folks, we knew who they were going for. The mainstream white folks and everybody else who wants to like still stay in Disney were acting like, well, you know, maybe they changed. No, they never changed. They the same motherfuckers who fucking wanted to burn and kill us from jump. Yeah. And the Republicans went over and grabbed them up because they needed votes. Show them who they are. Show them who they really are. And on January 6th, motherfuckers saw who they really were.
Yeah.
to the point where, because all these laws are getting passed with free gun, like, you know, free, you know, holding guns, gun permit-free guns and all that shit, you got countries now talking about advisories for their citizens.
Travel advisories, travel
countries are coming here. Yeah.
From New Zealand, Australia, France of all places.
Yeah.
You know, all these, Germany.
Yeah. Germany, people are worried about Germany the World Cup.
Yeah, and Germany went ham and said, and didn't even say, like, you know, watch out for guns and criminals. They said, they hearkened back to their own history.
Oof.
To for their travel advisory.
Mm-hmm.
Show these motherfuckers who they really are. Have another one. Go ahead. See what happens. You got fucked already because of it. That's what people who backed up Trump and DeSantis, who are running for Senate and shit.
Mm-hmm.
That's why them niggas lost. That's why Jacksonville lost. Right?
Yep.
Show them who they really are. That's why them niggas in Minnesota, when them two brothers got thrown out of out of their, right?
Yep.
See, show them who you are.
Yeah.
That's my thing. You know what I mean? Because like you said, when they start playing low, let them go as low as they can and let us see who you are.
I mean, I guess that's the great thing about, but you know what? To Kirk's point, and this a moment now, it's very rare on Big Fun and Shenanigans. Kirk and I actually step on the you know, we
hold on, let me give thanks. Oh, thanks, sir. Y'all. Thanks, y'all.
Starting 2023.
Yeah, exactly. To Kirk's point, this is what got us through the Voting Act during the Civil Rights Movement, because it was televised. And all of them folk did not realize, because you heard it. You heard about the oppression and how Black folks were being treated. When that got on the news, the next day, folks were on buses like, oh, no, we're not doing this. And rode down there and walked across that bridge with folks.
Yeah.
I mean, just to cover it up, I mean, I remember back in the 90s and 80s, how little coverage the Iraq War was getting.
Mm-hmm.
Afghanistan war, right. That's because of the Vietnam War.
Yeah,
the Vietnam War was so heavily televised.
Mm-hmm.
People were like horrified what was going on over there.
Oh yeah, yeah.
They could not afford that shit again this time. So we didn't get to see like the horror that was going. We're not getting. Right. We're not seeing the fucking horror that's going on in Yemen right now and the drone strikes.
Mm-hmm.
Right, right.
Afghanistan. We're not seeing that because they know. If it's televised and the people really saw what was going on, they would not be cool with it.
Mm-hmm.
What do they say? The revolution will not be televised. Not be
televised.
Mm-hmm. Will not be televised.
It might be on TikTok, though.
Do you think, and I'm not really trying to argue against the point, I'm just noticing, like, we have lost the concept of shame. That's something I think I've said before. As a society, we are... And a lot of that is because I think what the right is doing is they are trying to make it okay to be racist.
Yeah.
One of the things I think that it's lulled crazy. Us into a very false sense of security in the 90s, because to be honest with you, I don't think I was, I don't, in the 90s, I was not as focused on worrying about this kind of shit back then, because you know, we had the Cosby Show and we had, like, you know, all these little creature comforts.
Let's be real, Steve. Let's be real. Me and you in the 90s was in our 20s, young, good looking Black men. We wasn't thinking about none of that shit but ass. the only reason why you watch the Cosby Show is because the real hot girls used to watch that shit too.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, see, the only reason, the second reason why you watch Living Single was because them single hot girls.
That's all, that,
the
you know, DJ
and the gang.
Yes,
you know, that's all very fair. That is all very fair.
Motherfuckers. They're like, politics. Who's gonna be there?
Exactly.
You shouldn't have to keep it on a swivel.
Other stuff on my mind. True.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, but, question. Yes. Right.
But all of that said, I just think that because we've lost track of things, because we've lost track of things like shame and mm-hmm. and not us. I'm actually just talking about the country in general has kind of just shifted where you could show. And I know exactly what you mean, like the footage with the German shepherds and the hoses mm-hmm. and all of that, that brought the shame to the table,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
because, you know, it was like, and that was, ironically, that was when America was great. It wasn't great for us,
no.
But that's what they're hearkening back to. Mm-hmm. You know, back when they could keep us in our place.
Mm-hmm.
And then things progressed and things kind of, it like, we sort of polished the societal turd.
Yeah.
And like I said, we put some black folks on TV, and mm-hmm. I remember. And the funny thing is, I remember, like everybody, like our own people getting bent out of shape because the Huxtables looked so affluent.
Mm.
Oh yeah,
you remember that?
Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
I remember.
Yeah.
People were like,
"I remember that
they got a brownstone in Brooklyn Heights and that." It's just like, and it's like you had to like quote. In vogue, free your mind and your ass will follow.
Mm-hmm.
They got it from somebody else, obviously. But you know, we got lulled into this, like, and except for the Rodney King beating, you really didn't confront it like that.
Mm-mm.
You know, and then we're in New York, so apparently, come to find out, the LAPD was on some other shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, mm-hmm. I want to say all three of us have, I'm sure, had some sort of, you know, like checkpoint or whatever as far as NYPD goes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but like apparently what was going on in LA was really, really crazy.
Yeah, it was bad.
Yeah.
Bad from what I heard.
Yeah. And it took a few movies and it took the Rodney King thing to really bring that into focus.
Yeah.
And then of course we had Eleanor Bumpers and a few incidents of our own. Amadou Diallo, another one, you know.
Right. I think what happened with us on the East Coast with the West Coast, all we kept hearing was about the Crips and the Bloods.
Yeah,
that's
media.
The media was just telling the stuff. Right. The stuff about the cops, the situation is like, well, y'all stop gangbanging, you wouldn't have a problem with the police.
Yes. Respectability politics,
NWA. When NWA reached the East Coast, we were like, what's wrong with y'all, man? It's like y'all are gangsters. So yeah, the police gonna come after you till to your point, Stephen, Rodney King, and we're like, oh damn,
yeah,
they really are having a police problem out there.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
and
yeah,
you know,
yeah, I blame.
That's like people were so happy, like when O.J. Simpson, like, oh, he's not guilty. We all know he's guilty, but it was like a false sense of like small victory,
justification, like justification.
I wasn't either, but it's like this justification.
It was
false justification, false equivalency justification.
We all know he did it
because that was the first time we sat back and was like, now how do y'all like it?
How do y'all feel?
Exactly.
Yes. Exactly. And I think that really was the focal point. I don't really think many of us, like, I questioned whether or not he did it. Because I was like, that's the sloppiest job I've ever seen anybody do. And plus, just the way the whole thing was handled, I was like, either he's sloppy as hell or y'all don't know how to do your job. Or maybe it's a combination of the both.
I think it's a combination of both, yeah.
But, you know...
LA after just the, sloppy.
Yeah, because if he wasn't a famous black guy, if he wasn't a famous athlete, totally different story.
No,
yeah. Totally different story.
Well, that's what Chris Rock was saying. If that had been Orenthal the bus driver.
Right.
Exactly.
Orenthal the bus driver. Yeah.
Totally different. Would have been a bad one.
He'd be in jail.
Yeah,
but
if he was a black genie, he just Shazam his ass out.
Oh, wow.
Oh, no.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is very specifically what we are going to call a Kirk segue. Because that is the indication from Kirk that he would like to move on and talk about a movie.
And the immortal so words of Sugar. You a petty motherfucker. Yeah.
And he is. And that brings us to 3,000 Years of Longing.
Yeah.
A movie that we finally, at least most of us, finally watched at the behest of Mr. Johnson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I finally got around to it. Denise finally got around to it. I guess
Mark don't give a damn.
He just waved you off.
Yeah. I know. Mark don't give a damn.
Mark's never been one for genies. He's not really a genie fan.
He wrote a story with a genie in it.
I did.
He did. That doesn't mean he's a fan. I'm just messing around. But anyway, yes. And I have to say, wow, that was so.
Yeah,
basically, just cinematography. It's a beautiful movie. Let's just say right there, and it was actually romantic.
Yeah,
it was very romantic, and I would have never, and mind you, I would have never put Idris Elba and Tilda Swinton in a movie,
right?
With all like of that,
yeah,
kind of. You know,
all the dynamics. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, just great storytelling.
Yeah.
Bit by bit.
Director, same director of Mad Max director.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. They did a great job. Like Sheba, I was like, what?
Oh.
She was like just so black, head to toe, like just beautiful, beautiful blackness. And you're like, that is the Queen of Sheba right there.
Yeah. I feel he either got in contact with Neil Gaiman. Neil Gaiman said, "Oh,
I think so.
Well, this is what I did for Queen of Sheba. What are you gonna do?
What are you gonna do?
Right.
This is my Adam and Eve. What are you gonna do?
And this is just chocolate.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful.
Yes. Worth the price of admission just for that, to be honest. That's the 20-year-old in me speaking, by the way.
Polly, what?"
Oh, right.
Hello. What? Ticks? Who got insects? Hello. Ticks? What's that? A lot of insects? What is that? What does that mean? Damn, she's fine.
But it was really good storytelling. It was really, without any spoilers, really good storytelling.
Yeah, I didn't know what to expect. I don't want to do any spoilers at all, to tell you the truth. I honestly think people should just treat themselves to that one.
Yeah.
And I'm actually sorry I didn't see it in the theater because
it felt like an old school story. Like something you know, like probably we would read as speculative fiction.
Yeah.
But there was a charm and a sweetness to it and a thing and a just that like wow, dude, y'all.
Yeah. Really, 3,000 really was a long game. Wow.
Yeah. It was long too. Great. Yeah. And like you were saying, Steve, sumptuous set design.
Mm.
Just the imagination of the places that the genie had gone to and lived in, and just allowing at least the idea of the magnificence of Eastern set designing culture.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Something that isn't set in fucking Narnia and Middle Earth.
Right.
Something just like, you know, it was beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful. Really well done. Yeah. As period pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very well done.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
What do you think, Mark?
I'm looking it up to see what it's on so I can watch it later.
This is messing with you, bro.
You guys have convinced me that this is a movie.
Was it Amazon or Netflix?
I watched it on Amazon.
Amazon.
It's on Amazon? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I think it's actually right up your alley, Mark, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
I think you'd appreciate it.
I didn't want to see it when it came out. It was one of those movies that, you know,
it got lost in the pandemic.
Yeah. It escaped.
It did.
And I'll go so far as to say it was not marketed well.
Not at all.
Those films never are.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
not marketed well at all. It basically, it was just a poster, Idris in a robe. It's like, okay, or
like, okay,
the fuck are we doing? Like,
what's the matter with Stringer Bell's ears, man?
Right.
You know what's messed up? When Tilda does movies like that, those are not marketed well.
No.
And may, and just listening to you guys talk made me think of Lovers Left Alive.
True. Oh, not also not marketed well.
The Jim Jarmusch vampire film.
Oh, was
absolutely fantastic. Well.
And it's it was great, but not sold.
Yeah.
Not no sold. Effort. Yeah. No effort sold.
Yeah, no effort. You're right.
Mm-hmm. No effort. I never heard of it. No.
Lovers Left Alive. I'm checking.
Yeah,
it out.
Yeah. It's a,
I just stumbled across that one.
It's a Jim. Well, let me put it this way: it's a Jim. The person who recommended it to me left that little tidbit out. So when I sat down to watch it, and it was like a Jim Jarmusch film, I was like, man,
right.
Water and some popcorn. And so I'm gonna be here for a while. This is
that's one of those movies. It's literally one of those movies where you have to have like the popcorn, like right here, and the drink right in, with the straw, because all these little subtle movements. Ain't no dialogue. This is motherfuckers. Is an eye wink here, maybe a curl of the lip here, and you're like, I don't know what that means. And you got to interpret shit because the dialogue is so sparse.
Yeah, Jim Jarmusch movies, they are not the play in the background while you clean the house movie. No, not if you want to get what you need to get.
I think the most talkative movie, the most talkative Jim Jarmusch movie was Up in Smoke.
Oh, Up in Smoke, right.
Up in Smoke, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's funny. I saw the night I went to see Ghost Dog at the theater, I think that was the first time I went to a theater where black folks didn't talk. Black folks were like, wow, and so, hey man, I got
Ghost Dog.
Because you couldn't. Jim Jarmusch is that director that's like, if you look away from the screen, you might as well just start the movie all over.
Oh, man.
Because even the zombie film that he did.
He did a zombie movie? Which one?
He did this one with...
All-star cast.
Bill Murray, Selena Gomez.
The other day.
Not Zombieland.
No.
It's
called...
So I think even Tilda Swinton was in that one, wasn't she?
Tilda Swinton was in that one.
Yeah, and that was on TV the other day.
It was rocking out with a samurai sword.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Wasn't Tommy Chong in it?
I think so.
He was Tommy
Chong?
Yeah, he was living
and Adam Driver.
Adam Driver, yeah.
It's got an interesting ending.
Yeah, even,
The twist is interesting.
Yeah.
But it was one of those movies where it's like, Jim Jarmusch made a zombie film?
Like, and, what? Right.
Because and I was like, what is this? And
It's like Jim Jarmusch made a zombie film. You get my pad and pencil.
Dead Don't Die.
The Dead Don't Die.
Yeah, I didn't get to see it from the beginning, but I was like, what on earth am I watching?
Jim Jarmusch.
Danny Glover was in it. Yeah, I gotta watch it.
Wow, that's right. Okay. How the hell did I forget that?
Jim Jarmusch
did like Lord of the Rings. There would have been no dialogue in that first scene. Like them at fight, you're like, why is niggas fighting? Why? Falling off the cliff. Who that big guy is?
Why is that big bird?
He would have been like, it would have been like Mount Doom, 1282.
Yeah.
What happened in 1282? And then like, are those elves?
Wait, Jim Jarmusch did a movie with, it's about an assassin. I can't remember what it was called, but it was Isaac de Bankole. He's a African actor from Cameroon, I believe. Mm-hmm. He's been in movies. The thing is, you've seen him in movies, but you've never heard who he was. Actually, he was in Ghost Dog. He was the guy, the ice cream guy.
Yes.
Isaac de Bankole. He did a movie with, Jim Jarmusch did a movie with him in it.
Okay, wow. Assassin.
Wow.
I know exactly who you mean now. Yes.
Yeah. And Bill Murray was in it too.
Mm-hmm.
His job was to kill the Bill Murray's character. There was no dialogue in the whole movie until Bill Murray came up.
Wow.
It was like 60 minutes of like him just traveling and like, what the fuck is going to talk? Is there subtitles? Can I see that shit? I was in the TV like this. Oh, like, subtitles? Why are they talking? Tilda Swinton was in it.
You know who he reminds me of? Sergio Leone.
Yes.
Mm. The opening to Once Upon a Time in America.
Oh.
When Woody Strode and all of them standing there at the train station, you're like, somebody's going to do something, right? It's like everybody kind of standing around. Mm. Guy's got his little harmonica. It's like you're 20 minutes into the movie and nobody did a thing yet. They stare at each other. And it's like, we'll get to the point of this, right?
Wow.
Wow.
Oh my
God. I want to say now, Once Upon a Time in America is kind of on the long side.
Yeah.
Which is an anomaly for back then. Because, you know, back then they were way more concerned about getting more show times in the course of the day. Now, honestly, it's like I feel like a 2.5 hour movie is becoming not necessarily the norm, but it's definitely something that
it's like acceptable.
It's a lot more acceptable as long as you've got a good story to tell.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You think streaming has a lot to do with it? I'm sorry.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because
I would agree with that.
Because now people have been conditioned to sit through multiple fucking hours of shit. Like,
and you can pause it and come back to it.
And you can pause it and come back to it. I'll never forget the early parts of streaming. I remember it was a Sunday and I had shit to do. But I got caught up in Orange is the New Black.
Oh.
And the next thing I know, all the stores were closed and it was nighttime. And I was like, wait, what the fuck just happened here? Yo. And that's when I learned, okay, this is the devil right here. I'm going to cease to be a functioning human being. You know.
Cobra Kai did that. I started watching Cobra Kai. It was 4 a.m. by the time I realized. I was like, "But oh, just one more.
I did not expect to like Cobra Kai as much as I did.
Me too.
Neither did I. Next thing
I still have to watch the last season, but yeah. Yeah. It's just a good show.
I'm sitting there. It's 4 a.m. Mm-hmm. It's Sunday morning. The sun is coming up. And I have cleared the entire first season. And I'm like, wait, what?
Uh-oh.
No.
And what's messed up about that for you is you got a wife and kid in the house. So they're like, hey, daddy, what you doing? Ah.
No sleep for you, sir. Like,
what's on my laptop? The Man Went Down the Street. That's about as much writing as I got in.
Oh, God.
Well, that's the other thing. All of us are supposed to be writing books and stuff. And we're getting caught up in all this stuff.
Now, speaking of long-ass movies, this Sunday I watched RRR. It's an Indian movie. Yeah. And the reason I watched it is because they had the musical number during the Oscars. And my sister was like, oh, see the original actors. So I was like, okay, I'll finally watch it. It was so good. I don't want to give you any spoilers. It is 3 hours long, but it is definitely worth it.
It's worth it. All right.
Yeah. And like the movie starts out with like all the credits. I guess that's this international thing. I was like, did I miss something? And they say no animals were harmed. And I was like, we usually have that at the end. But all the animals in the movie are like digital. And it is so, so good. It's so good. It's so good. I didn't think I was going to like it. I was like, is this another Bollywood movie? How many dance numbers are in it? It's really, really good. Really, really good.
Okay.
Watch it. You can watch it and then let me know what you think. Because it was not what I expected. Way better. There's tons and tons of action. Just keeps going. Like there's one scene that reminds me of Old Boy. Just keeps going and going and going. Yeah.
Oh.
RRR.
You said a word there with Old Boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. All right.
Yeah. I said a word. I meant it.
She said what she said.
We don't change the name of this podcast. They said what they said.
No, yeah. Watch it and tell me what you think. Yeah. I was like, wow.
I almost did that last night. I was like, I was like, I didn't have to go in today. So I was like, you know what? I'm gonna check out this movie that Denise said. And I find, and then I'm like, wait, it's a Hindu movie. Mm-hmm. And then I click on the thing, and then I see this long thing about this film is out. I'm like, nope.
No, save it for a Sunday.
No, like... I need time for this. This is Ben Hur all over again.
You could actually pause it, go away, and come back if you needed to.
Oh wow.
But don't let it just run. Don't let it just run. Right. Just like go to the bathroom, just pause it, get a snack, come back.
I'm gonna figure out where I'm gonna watch this then.
I was very surprised. I wish I would have watched it sooner. I also wish I would have watched it in a theater.
Well, it just came out, right?
No.
It's been out
for a minute.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I want to say maybe last year.
I want to say last year. Yeah, because of the Oscars. So it had to be last year for sure.
I heard about it last. I actually heard about it last year.
Oh,
I heard about it a month ago. Yeah, and I just kept putting it off. Yeah. But I did do some writing as well. I did.
Yay.
Yes. Yes.
Yay.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, speaking of writing, I actually have another episode for the YouTube channel Extra Credit in the process. This one, the draft riot of 1863, where among other things, about 233 innocent little black kids got ran out of their orphanage while people were rioting and ultimately burned the orphanage down to the ground along with a few other black establishments, all basically because they did not feel like being drafted into the Civil War.
Wow.
I have to think there might have been a gentler way to make that point, or maybe just stick with burning down the provost's office. But in a couple of weeks, hopefully that'll be animated and you guys will all get to see that.
Nice. I get so much education from all of those. I really appreciate you writing those, because I'm like, what happened? And I watched this, I was like, oh my gosh. Yeah.
Well, that's so educational. I don't know if I ever explained how that all came to be. Well, so Matt Kroll, very dear friend of mine who I met in the MTV days, but he was an intern. I was stage managing, and that's how I met him. And then he enlisted me for some comedic stuff because he was shooting something called Same Night Movie Reviews. Huh. So, and then after that, we remained friends, obviously. I've been on his podcast a few times and whatever, which is very comedically named the only podcast about movies. right. Wow. But he is the showrunner over at Extra Credit. He narrates all these things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because I'm a spooky guy, he kind of brought me in originally to do mythology stuff.
Oh.
Few of those I'm actually very proud of. The one with the Rasulka, which is the vengeful lady spirits that draw assholes to the river so they can drown them. I'm actually very proud of that one. And there's a bunch of others. But George Floyd gets murdered, and then they're like, wow, we've done everything from Napoleon to Stolenitzin, but we haven't done Black history. And they turn to me with it, and that's how that kind of all got started.
Oh, wow. Well, I'm glad it happened, man.
Yeah, but I do have to tell you that sometimes working on that stuff can get you a little emotional.
Oh, I bet, absolutely. That material is so heavy. Oh, man. But it's stuff that people need to know.
Yes. Except for Ron DeSantis, apparently.
Yeah, they don't show that out in Florida. That's some CRT woke shit.
Well, ain't that right? Well, that's interesting because, you know, I mean, what you going to do? You going to shut off the internet, Ron? And maybe
if you present
is.
Him with a little black box and tell him it's the internet, he'll take it. Where's that from? That's from IT Crowd. That's right. Little black box. Here, Ron, I'll sell you this for $60 million. No. He'll take that. This is the internet.
The internet.
Damn it! This is where Lola should have jumped in my lap.
Right.
You know, accent my whole thing here. Hey, our time is up.
Aww.
Unfortunately, But once again, I have to thank the three of you, you know, for being great human beings.
Always.
I am not a crook.
Well, no, because there's surveillance cameras everywhere now. You can't be stealing stuff.
unless you're the Republican.
Well,
California's just a misdemeanor, so. Oh,
good to know, in case I need some office supplies. So
it's just a misdemeanor.
At some point, we're going to have Rob Atone has agreed to come on the show.
Oh, nice.
Well, not so much agreed as begged to be on the show. Oh. So, so we'll do a little StokerCon pregame with homie Rob Atone. We may have some other guests lined up.
Nice.
Who knows? Maybe we'll ask old Linda Addison to stop by. I don't know.
Oh, that would be awesome.
We'll see.
They trying to beat me.
Don't start that. Sir.
We're gonna save that for the actual. If we ever actually have her on, if she actually says yes after that,
I bet she would. I bet she would. She misses you guys. Yeah, I talked to her earlier today. She absolutely misses you guys. Yeah.
We miss her too. Oh, and we miss all of you, those of you that are listening and paying attention. And
we do.
Learning from us like Fat Albert and the Cosby Kids in the junkyard.
Don't put nothing in no lady's drink.
No, do not.
Don't do that.
What you try to say about it? Stephen Van Patten?
So I was in Studio 54. I was hanging out with Bo Derek. Okay, no, I'm not gonna do that now. All right.
You know what? You remind me of ice cream on a summer day. Soft.
I thought you guys said
you remind me of a pair of shoes in the mud. You just dirty.
You remind me of school in the summertime.
No class. And on that note, Beef Wine and Shenanigans, we're out of here. Love you. Mean it. Peace.